Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're continuing in our Drivecast series as we go through some of the major themes we're talking about with the With Us series as we've been exploring the Christmas season. Let's start first by reading it in. About 8 days after Jesus foretold his death in Luke chapter 8, verse 21, he went up onto a mountain, bringing with him Peter, James, and John. As he began to pray, his face began to shine radiance as intense as the sun. And strangely, Moses and Elijah appeared out of nowhere and began to talk to him. Moses represented the law, as through him, God gave Israel the law on Mount Sinai. We know that one day the law would be fulfilled through someone else, saying, "The Lord your God will raise up for you another prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." It's from Deuteronomy 18:15. I mean, coincidentally, God uses similar language during this scene with Jesus and his disciples that we call the Transfiguration. Right, where God says to them, "This is my son," speaking of Jesus, "this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." He is that prophet Moses pointed forward to in Deuteronomy 18, saying that another one is going to come from among you. Elijah, who also appeared there, represented the prophets. Jesus himself fulfilled the message of the prophets that had diligently served as God's mouthpieces over hundreds of years. For example, the prophet Zechariah prophesied that the king of Israel would humbly come on a donkey's colt, Zechariah 9:9. Isaiah proclaimed that the Savior would be despised and rejected, yet would carry the sins of all his people on his back, Isaiah 53. Jeremiah declared that the Lord would raise up a righteous descendant from the line of David, Jeremiah 23. Jesus, in God's perfect timing, fulfilled every single one of these prophecies that are just a handful represented in what we just looked at. When the disciples saw this like strange moment, which would honestly be kind of a terrifying sight, they are struck with awe. I mean, in the most real sense, this is an awesome moment, meaning they're absolutely filled with wonder at what they're seeing. Peter, right, for lack of anything better to say, just kind of spouts off like, "Hey, it would be good if we built three shelters in honor of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. We can leave it right here and like we'll be all good, right? People can just come. It's like a pilgrimage. We can establish this right here." But he barely finished speaking when a thick layer of mist covered the mountains. And when it dispersed, Moses and Elijah were gone. Peter, James, and John were just kind of left stunned. The only one left before them was Jesus, whose face had returned to normal. But never would they forget the glory of Christ that had been revealed to them in that precious moment. I mean, maybe for the first time, they saw Jesus as he really was, the perfect divine Son of God, who had willingly left the throne of heaven to be born in a humble manger and dwell among his people. Maybe this is what John is talking about when he says in his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14, the thing we had been studying for 5 weeks as a church family, like, "We have seen his glory." John is talking about this moment. We have seen his Jesus. We've seen his glory. This is what John's talking about. Now, let's take a moment to not just think about this one story, but to pray back some of the things that we read. I want to pray it up. I'll give you a couple prayer points. You might want to press pause so that you can pray afterwards after I share these. Number one, Peter, James, and John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but they may not have experienced his marvelous glory until this passage, until this moment in time. Pray that God would overwhelm you with the truth of who he really is. Number two, like Peter, many of us get carried away with the wrong details. Ask God to clarify what things or specifics you are focusing too much on, and pray that he will shift your focus to the things that truly matter. And number three, praise the Lord for his unceasing glory, that he is sovereign over all things. finally, we want to live it out. We don't just want to be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. Here's the question. What should the truth that Jesus is the holy and divine one change about how we live our lives? And once we encounter Jesus, do we go back to just the status quo, doing the things that we always used to do? Or, you know, what does the power of Jesus have to change and turn over in our lives? I encourage you to take some time, think about what is that aspect of your life that you need to see the power of Jesus bring transformation to. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.